showed up when you saw the apocalypse. Are we in the middle of an apocalypse? And notice I said an apocalypse, not the apocalypse. There's, within religious circles, everybody has their own version of the Christian concept of the apocalypse, the end of days. And you can believe what you want. I'm not critiquing your beliefs. That's not my place. I have no right to do so. I have no right to tell you what to believe about your faith. So you're going to have to put that in your back pocket for what I'm about to say and understand that even if you're right, I can still be right about what I'm saying because we're not where you are thinking when you use that word yet. But an apocalypse is actually a revealing. That's what it actually means. It does not mean the end. It means a revealing. And I started thinking about this last night. I've been reading The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown again. And I think it's a really excellent book, and it's really worth reading. It's a good unplugged from the Matrix book. It's, you know, it's a fiction book. A lot of stuff about Masons and stuff like that in it. But I don't want to give away the entire concept of where what's going on in the book during this examination of things is, because if you haven't read the book, you it'll ruin it for you. But just like one of the characters is having what they believe is an afterlife experience, but it's not. And if you've watched the miniseries, by the way, that's on the streaming service, whichever, that's Peacock or something like that, it's good, but it ain't nothing like it. It's zero relationship to the book, honestly. So it's still worth reading the book. But it goes through how, in history, we've had many times when truth and deceit collided heavily. And that's the hallmark of any unveiling or any apocalypse. That's what actually happens. And I'm going to use a word here that I tend to stay away from because it becomes so invocational of religious thought and religious theology, etc. And that's evil. And we can have evil as in it's the devil or Satan or demons or whatever, but we can have evil if none of that stuff exists. Right? Whether you're a theist like me, whether you're a Christian, a Jewish person, a Hindu, a Muslim, whatever, or an atheist. Unless you're delusional, we can agree that there is a concept of basic good and true evil. And to go to an extreme example to make my point, somebody that walks through a park and starts looking around and picks out babies in strollers and starts smashing them on the ground, if you have a word other than evil for that, you are delusional and we should probably bury you in a hole up to your neck and let people kick you like a soccer ball until you're gone. And then just have the excavator come in and push you the rest of the way under, throw a little dirt on you and pretend you're not there. If you don't think that's evil, there's something wrong with you. Okay? That's evil incarnate. And a lot of the things that are going on in the world today, I don't have another word for. I absolutely believe there are therapeutics that are medications we've had for decades that can do no real harm to a person by trying that could have helped with this pandemic we went through and we're still going through. I absolutely believe that. And I believe that even if I'm wrong about them being effective, I know that I'm right about them being safe to use. You can't have a medication that's been safe to use for 60 years all of a sudden become dangerous when it should only be used in a hospital in an ICU. That can't happen. That can't happen. A medication that's still being deployed throughout the world for a variety of things that people take every day, like it's safer than aspirin. It can't go from being safer than aspirin to dangerous just because some guy in a white coat with an official title said so. And to claim that, and even if it only potentially costs lives, I don't have another word other than evil. And I've been really heavy on y'all lately that you need to get the book by RFK Jr. called The Real Anthony Fauci and read it so you can see this playbook. Well, reading Dan Brown's book at night and reading Dr. Fauci, the RFK book in the mornings, I found an interesting confluence there between an apocalypse and good and evil colliding with what's going on with the pandemic. But I said to myself, you know, if it's one thing, it can't possibly be the apocalypse or an apocalypse. So how many places is this pattern repeating itself? Where the truth is attacked as a lie by the people lying. And the answer I have, and it's more true now than it's, I'm not going to say ever been, but in my life, it's never been more clear that everybody telling the truth is attacked by establishment about everything. You can take COVIDs and put it away and you tell me where I'm wrong. Look at what you're being told about what kind of food you should be eating. I'm a test case scenario in this, right? I went from eating what they said you're supposed to eating all the things they're not supposed to eat. I lost almost 100 pounds, and I saved my own life. So if you don't have to be keto with diet either. I mean, Ken Berry himself said at the workshop we had this fall, he said, that won't work for me or Jack, because we are a specific blood type and body type where we really need to stay restricted in our carbohydrates. We really do. But there are a lot of people, if they just simply kept their carbohydrates total, not net, total carbohydrates under 100 a day, 100 grams a day, they would be fine. All their numbers will come in line, they'll be great. And if we just made that the basic dietary advice in this country, it ain't got to be keto and eating bacon, and it could just stay under 100 grams of carbohydrates a day. That's it. We would plummet diabetes, kidney failure, coronary heart disease, obesity, like across the board metrics. We would save millions of freaking lives a year just by doing that one thing and saying, this is the truth. So what happens when you tell that truth? You're attacked by everybody in big food and in government as being a quack and you're going to kill people. You have the American Diabetes Association publishing menus for people with type 2 diabetes, which is completely curable, that one meal is 100 freaking carbohydrates. But it's whole grains. Telling people, relying on you to help them treat an illness that they have, the exact wrong thing to do, and knowing you're doing it because I believe they know, is evil. I don't have a better word. And we can keep going. Let's look at the food industry a little bit differently. What are we being told we need to do now? We need to grow soybeans, and everybody needs to eat soybeans. We need to make fake meat, Impossible Burgers, and things like that. I think this is evil. Why do I think it's evil? Because I know that if you give me 1 million acres to manage with cattle and pigs and chickens, then I can make the environment way better than you can take that same 1 million acres and row crop it. I don't think it. I know it. We have enough evidence that shows that it's true that we all who have actually examined how silvopasture and rotational grazing systems work, we know that every year that system becomes better for the environment. If you're worried about carbon and CO2, it puts carbon in the soil, locks it up permanently unless we break it again. Every year it gets better over and over and over, but it gets attacked. So when you have people trying to reveal the truth, you always have, like I said, it's the same but different, man. You always have institutions that are happy with the way things are opposing it. But I think what's happened over time, and an example would be coming out of the Dark Ages into the Renaissance, and looking what happened back then. You know, like jailing and killing scientists for telling the truth because it upset the status quo. But it was a point where the pushback could only work so much because the time for the truth had come. And I believe we're there. I don't know a time in my life, and I can't, looking at like recent history, last few hundred years, I can't see a point where that's been more true than it is today. Where it's not just, hey, what we think is wrong, and here's the truth. But the truth is so obvious. The truth is so easy to see. The truth is so easy to prove. And the most important thing you need to have in apocalypse is voices. The sheer number of voices speaking the truth. You know, a long time ago, there was a guy named Gandhi. I'm not saying he's a saint like some people think or whatever, but he got stuff done. The thing that he did that most cemented everything he would do from that point forward was the famous March to the Sea. A lot of people don't know this, but when all that started, the British, having colonized India, and India being surrounded by ocean, and salt being such a valuable commodity at the time, the British decided they wanted to tax salt. Because what do governments like to do better than tax a thing? Well, you have a problem with taxing something that people could just make. So they passed a law, and they said that it was illegal for a native citizen of India that they had colonized to go to the sea, take a bucket, fill it up with ocean water, and sit it out in the sun. Let the water freaking evaporate. And then collect the salt out of the bottom and put it on their food. That was illegal. Go to prison for it. Now that was wrong. In my opinion, that was evil incarnate. Now, a lot of Indians, right, they still just made salt. But Gandhi looked at it and said, this is wrong, and they have to be challenged. So he did a march to the sea. Instead of just going and doing it, he announced publicly, I'm going to do this to force the British to stop him. And marched along with many others to the sea to make salt, to be arrested. And this revealed to the people of the world how bluntly fucked up this was. That a man could be destroyed for evaporating water out of a bucket. Is it more obscene? Is it less obscene? Is it less absurd? Is it less ridiculous that a man who went to medical school, who has a great relationship with his patients, could lose his medical license for prescribing a medication that was perfectly okay for him to prescribe for anything he wanted to 3 years ago, for prescribing it now when his patient says it helped me? We have an apocalypse today, in my view, because in all walks of life, we're starting to have thousands of Gandhis instead of one. Thousands of voices of truth. And we're also reaching an interesting point from a technology standpoint. Yes. Yes, very much so. They control everything, don't they? They control everything. Facebook, Twitter, the media on TV, they control the narrative. YouTube may decide they don't like what I've said today and they'll just shut down this video or maybe even take away my channel. Facebook may deny me the ability to communicate with you on that platform. I don't care. Go ahead. Twitter might. I don't care. Go ahead. I made a meme today and it's the thumbnail for this video and it's the famous Leo with the little drink. Ah, right? And it says, when you realize the left controls big tech, the media, and government, but they're still terrified of memes, facts, comedians, and oxygen. See, I think the important thing to understand about when we enter an apocalypse, there's no guarantee that it'll go smoothly. In fact, they usually don't. There's no guarantee that you won't lose your individual fight within it. But it's almost an inevitable guarantee that darkness loses. Every time. Every single time. And there's a simple reason for it. Light destroys darkness. But darkness cannot destroy light. And I'm talking about actual light and darkness now. The only way you can create true darkness is to shield out light. Get a box that's thick enough, put a lid on it, and inside there it's dark. Pinprick hole. Light floods into the space and destroys the darkness. It's right in your spiritual text. The darkness comprehendeth not. You go into a dark room, you flip a light switch, and the darkness is banished. It is the truth that banishes evil. Because evil is always deceptive. Evil is always a lie. And we are living in a world of inherent evil right now. And again, you don't have to believe in any sort of religious mythology to believe that. Destroying human beings' lives because they disagree with you is evil. Telling people to eat food that you know will make them sick is evil. Denying people the ability to choose their own future is evil. Using force of the state and force of oligarchy to destroy the planet's ecosystem in the name of saving it. Guys, that's fucking evil. And that's what we are. We are absolutely at a point right now where it is us and them. And God, I hate saying us and them. But it is us and them. And I think each apocalypse has kind of a theme. It's like a theme party apocalypse, right? Like, you know, like you have an 80s party, right? And everybody comes dressed up as 80s people. Like, Duran Duran or the Miami Vice guys or something, right? Yeah. And I think that the theme this time is centralization versus decentralization. And that's not about crypto. That's just one small piece of it. I said this years ago, and I never really saw this correlation to, like, this unveiling. But every problem we have is being addressed by the people in power through the concept of we need more power, and we need more centralization, and we need more control. But when examined critically and logically, the solution is inevitably we need less centralization and less centralized control and less power of individuals in a small number and more empowerment of individuals at a wider level. And you can keep looking at things, and it just keeps being that way. We have a problem with the food supply. Gee, well, maybe if you guys got the hell out of the business of telling people how their cow has to be processed, maybe there'd be more slaughterhouses and people wouldn't be waiting a year to have a cow processed right now. You know, that would mean giving up centralized control. You know, when we have energy grid problems, you know what? Putting power generation and power storage in individual homes, and even though even there is a place for a grid, and then intercombining that back into the grid so that we can load share during shortages, that makes sense. But that's empowering the individual. That individual might not need you anymore, big power company. Or they may only need you a tiny little bit now. Can't have that. When we look at a housing problem, maybe if we didn't have so many regulations saying you can't build a house under a certain number of square feet, we'd have affordable housing tomorrow because the free market would start building them, but that would be decentralizing power and control. And I just don't see a place where the solution that's obvious, or in the words of Bill Mollison, is embarrassingly simple, isn't either full or partial decentralization. And I'm open to it. You can give me one, and we'll examine it critically together, and we'll determine whether or not you're right. But I can't think of one. And I'm a pretty good thinker. And I've tried, because even though this makes so much logical sense to me, I believe if you're not willing to challenge your own beliefs and your own biases and your own decision-making process, if you're not willing to say, I'm going for a moment to pretend that this is a lawsuit, and I'm the lawyer for the other side, I'm going to build the case against myself, then you're not a critical thinker. But I don't know, give me a problem we have today and tell me we can't mitigate it at least through decentralization, and then show me that everything in media and government and industry isn't designed to prevent that decentralization. You want better food? Grow more food in more places and remove the obstacles to doing so instead of having all the food go to a warehouse before people get it. Got a flaw in that? Tell me what it is. I'll listen. If you're in my audience right now and you have a legitimate flaw with that, I will let you come on the air with me. If somebody has one, tell me in the chat. I'll drop a link. You can come right on in my chat room and I'll let you tell me where I'm wrong. Go ahead. And I don't mean that adversarially. I'm talking about an open, honest discussion here. I don't expect it. I don't know where we're at in the world today where we have a serious problem, where we're not in this mode of apocalypse. And that's what's in Dan Brown's book, is about every time this occurs. Every time a great unveiling of truth occurs. Every time society is ready for an actual leap forward instead of a reset. You know, just think about that. I didn't really think about that till this second right now. Humanity is about ready to take a massive leap forward intellectually and scientifically. Massive leap. As confused as your great-grandfather would be about the massive leaps in technology that we've had between when he died and today. You know, my great-grandfather died in early 80s. My last, you know, you have like four, right? My last great-grandfather I lost, the only great-grandfather I ever met, died somewhere around 1982. If we could bring him back when he was nice and healthy and about 45 years old, and he walked in just my home, his mind would be blown. If he walked in here and said, what are you doing right now? And I said, I'm talking to hundreds of people all over the world through this box. And they see me and they can interact with me and they're talking to me right here. His mind would probably shut down. As monumentous as that leap forward is, the leap forward that we're talking about right now, people becoming their own doctors to a large degree. Doctors returning to the concept of doctor as a teacher and surgeon as a treater. That's happening right now. A complete revealing of new knowledge about the ancient things that have always worked well to keep us healthy and safe. That is a much bigger leap than going from ahoy hoy on the phone to using the internet. It's a massive change in society. And changes benefit society as a whole, in general, when they are leaps forward. And they seriously impede and cost the established power structures when they occur. That's why there'll always be this fight. But think about that. What am I talking about now? Again, I'm talking about a leap forward for humanity in general. And what do the people in power want to do? Reset. Interesting. Interesting, that term, when you see it that way, isn't it? We want to leap forward. We want to evolve forward as a species. We want to evolve forward as human beings. We want to evolve forward in the way that we establish and maintain and build our communities. And they want to reset. You have right now, in my estimation, it's probably been since the Renaissance, we have not had a place where those two opposing forces have clashed as hard as they are right now. And I believe we'll win. I might be dead by then because they shot me or took me away or because I got old. I'm not saying it'll be quickly. It'll happen quickly. But nothing so strong as nothing is so powerful as an idea whose time has come. I believe it was Victor Hugo that said that. And I think that's exactly where we are. Unveiling the colors of a woke society. I think wokeism is a direct result of this confluence. I mean, actually convincing a child that you're not the gender you were born to, when they're young enough to be manipulated into that, is that not evil? Convincing somebody that you are bad because you were born a certain color, is that not evil? Is that not literally the definition of evil? It absolutely is, in my opinion. And what do you use to fight light? You try to use darkness. The woke culture is a direct result of this. These people, like, all these people, we look at them and we call them, like, woke tards or whatever, and they're idiots. They didn't wake up one day and turn into that. They were conditioned, trained, and taught to think that way. And the ones most susceptible were the ones that bit it, swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. People didn't just decide, oh yeah, I'm going to go on site Team Mastard and start masking my face 27 times a day, right? Like, I need another mask and another mask, just put the whole box on. People didn't just randomly do that. They were conditioned into freaking psychosis, mass freaking psychosis, into doing that. Why do you think they're doing it? Because they want to shut everybody up. They don't want honesty. They don't want voices like mine or yours. The most dangerous thing to them is those of you with little channels, little podcasts, little websites, way smaller than mine, that put up a picture of your family eating breakfast from eggs you harvested from your backyard. That terrifies them. Because that's about the damn brightest light you can shine. It's showing that what you do works. Or as I've said for years, showing that what you do matters. Do you actually can make these determinations for yourself? Because that's what's going on right now. The real revealing here is in self-determination. That every human has within them the ability to influence their own lives for the better and make choices for themselves that impact their future far more than anybody else. And if you think about it, the macro view of the system right now is, no, you can't. You need us. And I want you to think about it like a relationship. Think about the mass of society being a female in a relationship, in a marriage, a bad one, or a bad boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And finally the woman says, Well, we used to get along, but we don't anymore, and I don't think you're good for me, and I'm leaving. And the guy puts his hand on the door and says, you better not leave me. You'll never make it without me. You can't make it on your own. No one will ever love you or care for you as much as I do. You better not leave. Without me, you're nothing. Without me, you'll starve. Anybody you find other than me will treat you worse than I do. Even if I treat you poorly, they will treat you worse. I'm as good as it gets, and you need me. You'd say that's a sick, psychotic son of a bitch, and she should kick him in the balls and go out the door. And if he follows her, she should probably drop him with a 38 to the head. I don't see it much different with government right now. And when I'm talking about government, I'm talking about the whole thing. I'm not just talking about your elected officials and bureaucrats. That's the third of the unholy trifecta. Government right now is media, all of it. Facebook, Twitter, ScrewTube, Google, all the searching, all of big tech, plus ESPN, you know, everything from ESPN, where the Let's Go Brandon shit started, right, to MSNBC, CBS, Fox News, all of it. That's another third of government. And then the last third is the oligarchy. It's all the corporations that conspire together in clear and flagrant disregard for the federal law that they put in place through lobbyists to control us. That's government. And that's what government's saying right now. You'll never survive without us. It's dangerous out there. You know, I think of like some sci-fi things where like the guy, there was an episode of 24 where Jack Bauer's daughter ends up down in an old nuclear bunker. And the guy that has her down in the bunker says, you can't go up there. Nuclear war happened. Right? The bombs went off. Oh, I'll go out. I'll wear a suit and I'll go out and get supplies. It's not safe. And if you hold people hostage that long, there's three outcomes. First, and this is where about half of society is right there, now today. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. They identify with their captor, they go into mass formation psychosis, and they do whatever they're told. The rest of society, or the other two options in that individual scenario, they wait for an opportunity, and they kill the captor. Because they're like, there's only one way out of this, and that's for this person not to be here anymore. We call those revolutions and actual insurrections, not their nonsense about January 6th, when those occur in history. Or outright escape. Those are the only three plausible scenarios, right? I guess some people kill themselves. But generally speaking, captives either escape, they injure and disable or kill their captors, or they accept their captivity. That's an apocalypse. That's the world right now. People are all making one of those three choices. The person in a place where there's no requirement to wear a mask walking around with two masks on has Stockholm Syndrome. The person will get as many boosters as they're told to get has Stockholm Syndrome. The person that will willingly believe that it makes more sense to plow a field than fill it with trees and animals has Stockholm Syndrome. The person that believes it's okay for a 19-year-old with a nose ring with no idea of what's going on to be a fact checker and overrule a doctor with 30 years of experience in the practice of internal medicine has Stockholm Syndrome. They've identified with their captors. I've always said, violence has to be the last option, not the first one. So our real option? Escape. Escape? An old school, in a way, pirate radio. Speak the truth, show the truth, document the truth, don't be afraid of the truth, and remember, they are afraid of the truth. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap things up with today's episode of the show.
Pull yourself up, they keep bringing you down. Are they gonna bail you out, or just run you around? Said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way. Let me show you a better way.